By now, you're tired of hearing about fake news, aren't you? It has become one of the slogans of the 21st century. And it's one that is a political football being passed forward and backward, or really more like a hot potato. No one wants to be accused of being fake news. And so what they do is they accuse the other one of being fake news. I've been following certain news stories, and the other day, as I was preparing for this sermon, I just decided to spend 1 hour going back and forth between CNN and Fox to see what they were talking about. They were talking about the exact same story, but you would have thought that they were coming from two completely different planets. The one, they were talking about the Mueller investigation. And CNN was saying that essentially they were warming up a cell for the president. When I flipped over to Fox, Mueller was going to lose his job soon because all of the people in the FBI were bad. And it was back and forth. They were talking about the same thing, but they had none of the same facts, none of the same assertions. None of the same thoughts. The reality is, at some point, one of them is going to be right. Or maybe both of them are going to be wrong. But what they were doing and what they continue to do is simply speak from their own perspective. They are defending their truth. And they're doing it more like an attorney defending a client than they are looking for the truth where it might be found. It's fascinating to see this, because when you serve a perspective, the truth is lost. Now, we have another wonderful slogan that has come through over the last 20 years, and that's this one, "Too Big to Fail." Now, "Too Big to Fail" was named, coined when some of the large banks and some of the large financial systems were getting ready to collapse. And so we were told that these things that were too big to fail, we had to put all of our energy and our money into them. Now, I'm going to change the way we use this term. Because what really is happening in all of our fake news culture, what's really happening in all of our lying to each other and to ourselves is that we have ideologies and we have peoples and we even sometimes have nationalism that is too big for us to allow it to be smeared by the truth. What happens when something gets too big to fail is we put our resources in propping it up. We put our resources into making sure that it cannot fail. And in doing that, we let the powers that be know that they have carte blanche to do whatever they want and we'll still support them. When politicians mess up and we support them anyways, we've given them the ability to lie. When people tell you lies and you accept it, then you've given them the ability to do it again. And we continue as a society to move down this road where we feel like we must defend those who are ours. We're like the ultimate football fan who, because it's our team, we don't recognize that the play was a dirty play and a cheap shot. We just cheer for the team instead of recognize that it was a problem. No less than our first president, George Washington, recognized that this was a potential problem in a partisan world that a democracy leads to. Washington once said, "The alternate domination of one faction over another, sharpened by the spirit of revenge, natural to party dissension, which in different ages and countries has perpetrated the most horrid enormities, is itself a frightful despotism. But this leads at length to a more formal and permanent despotism, Now, let me explain this to you who don't speak 18th century English. What Washington was saying is that it's very easy to fall into partisanship and forget the truth. It's easy to think that all it takes for you to get to the truth or to have the right to tell the truth is to beat your enemy. But what happens is the enormities of what you will do to win or to get back at the other side create such difficulty and evil that eventually it collapses everything and it turns into tyranny. What really happens when we all listen to fake news and we allow it to continue is eventually you don't believe anything. And many people in America are at that place now. You simply don't know what the truth is. And what happens when we hear it over and over again is we throw up our hands and say, I give up. Do whatever you want, I'm checking out. Once that happens, then even truth tellers are lumped in with the liars. In fact, the ultimate reality on this, the ultimate end game, is that if you tell the truth against people in power, you will be shouted down, no matter who it is, because the other side has a machine that's built to beat you down. And so, truth becomes the new hate speech. George Orwell once said that during times of universal deceit, telling the truth becomes a revolutionary act. It becomes important for the church in this moment to be truth tellers, to not have concerns that are partisan or not have a perspective that is not the perspective of God. The more we get tied in to a party or to a partisan understanding, the more we get corrupted and eventually condemned by the world outside. We've seen some of this as people try to get close to Democrats or Republicans. Eventually what occurs is they are used by Democrats and Republicans, and the truth no longer comes from them. We're supposed to be different. And in Deuteronomy chapter 18, God tells the people what is expected of a prophet. In fact, in Deuteronomy chapter 18, God lays out several things through Moses. He tells them how the priests are to both act and to be treated. He tells them that they are supposed to avoid the pagan practices of seeking a soothsayer or a fortune teller, that they're supposed to avoid occultic practices, that they must be, in verse 13, blameless before the Lord. And then in the verse before what we read, Moses says through the word of God, the nations you will dispossess, those nations that they'll push out of the land, listen to those who practice sorcery and divination. But as for you, the Lord your God has not permitted you to do so. For the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your fellow Israelites. Now, what is this saying? This whole passage starts off by saying you are supposed to be different from the world around you. Now, believe it or not, in this world, we do have fortune tellers and soothsayers and sorcerers. All you got to do is stay up late enough to see their commercials on television. Okay, and they'll tell you, you know, what your lucky number is, and it goes from really, really minor to really, really big, right? But the reality is most of what we watch is fortune telling. Most of what we see, whether it's stock reporting, whether it's political broadcasting, whether it's sports reporting, they're all telling us who's going to win the Super Bowl. Some of them are sure of it. They'll tell you what the point spread is. They'll tell you what the next election's going to look like. They'll tell you what the weather's going to be like, not only next week, but in 100 years. Now, let me ask you this question. You just read and you just heard from the book of Deuteronomy that if a prophet is wrong, they're supposed to be executed. How many weathermen would survive the week? How many political prognosticators and those who are supposed to tell us exactly how people are going to vote would have been stoned in the street after the 2016 election? And how many sports reporters would find themselves gone if the results of the game would determine whether they would live or die? You see, the reality is that none of them are speaking for God. And none of them are speaking in a way that says, thus saith the Lord. What they're all doing is giving you their opinions. And that's good. But let's remember that that's all that they're doing. They're giving you opinions as to what's going to happen. And as long as we understand that those opinions are a game, those opinions allow us to spend time in front of the boob tube thinking we're learning, right? We think, well, I watch the news. I'm not like one of those morons who watch, you know, television shows, sitcoms and that. No, you're one of those morons who thinks that they're telling you what's going to happen tomorrow. But the reality is, they're not telling you the truth because God is not breathed in them. Because the Spirit of God has not directed them. Because they don't know which way the wind blows and where God's going to send us next. So Moses, while the people are getting ready to create their own land, in a moment where the people are getting ready to make their own nation, to be the people of God and the nation that the world is going to see as the people of God, Moses warns them and he says, don't be like other nations. Don't listen to liars. Don't spend your time listening to anything but my word. Now, this is a dangerous thing for a preacher to preach, to be blunt. Because the reality is that many times we get in front of God's word. Many times the people of God, even those of us who are in the church, even those of us who think well, we say, thus saith the Lord, when God hasn't spoken. And that's wrong. We need to be recognizing the seriousness of what we say when we say it. When we speak, we need to speak with a little bit of fear and trembling. Someone once asked me years ago, do you get nervous when you speak before people? And I say yes every time. I get nervous because the one thing that held me away, that made me resist going into pulpit ministry, becoming a pastor, was the understanding that this was serious business. That I didn't want to be one of those who said what I think. Now the truth is, it's like every person, I fail. And sometimes I get, well, the technical term would be too big for my britches. And I think that I know. Thinking that you know gets you into trouble. God is calling for the people to be distinct and to be different. But God has told us that there's going to be a time. We have the biblical history. We have all of the narrative of Scripture. And we know that when the people moved into Israel, the prophets were used in the same way that prophets are used in all kingdoms. It's funny and it's sad that what usually happens to a prophet becomes someone who can be hired by a politician, a king, or a people to say what the people want to hear. If you've ever listened to hometown radio for a sports team, you'll know that on the day of the big game, everyone in the press box thinks that the home team's going to win. And they'll all predict it. There's a simple reason for that. The first reason is that they're on the home team's payroll. But the second team is they know who their audience is. And if they don't want to have tomatoes thrown at them as they show up at the arena the next day, then they're going to say that the home team's going to win, whether they believe it or not. You see, in the ancient world and in today's world, kings hired prophets to speak their truth. You saw it in the Old Testament with the story of Balaam and Balak, who the people hired a prophet to prophesy against Israel. And you see it in today's world when we have news networks and anchors who are paid prophets for one side or the other. They say what someone wants them to say. But what happens eventually is truth dies. The prophet Isaiah, who was a true prophet, spoke in Isaiah 59. On the screen, you see Isaiah 59, 14. Let me show you some of what leads up to that. In verse 4, he says, "No one calls for justice. No one pleads a case with integrity. They rely on empty arguments. They utter lies. They conceive trouble and give birth to evil." Does that sound familiar to you? People who speak with empty arguments, if you've ever seen a point-counterpoint show, that's all you'll hear. It's amazing what some of these poor people are forced to argue for or against because they've drawn the short straw. These people, what eventually happens is our offenses are with us and we acknowledge our iniquities. Rebellion and treachery against the Lord. We turn our backs against our God. We incite revolt and oppression. Uttering lies our hearts have conceived. So justice, verse 14, is driven back. And righteousness stands far away. For truth has stumbled in the street. You might have heard it as truth has fallen in the street from the King James Version. And uprightness cannot stand. Truth is nowhere to be found. And whoever shuns evil becomes a prey. This is where we live. But here's the good news. In Isaiah 59:16, the prophet writes this. He saw that there was no one. God was appalled that there was no one to intervene. So with his own arm, God achieved salvation for him, and his own righteousness sustained him. Now, what Isaiah ends this passage in Isaiah 59, in verse 20, he says, "The Redeemer will come to Zion, to those in Jacob who repent of their sins, declares the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them. My spirit who is on you will not depart from you, and my words that I have put in your mouth will always be on your lips, on the lips of your children, and on the lips of their descendants, from this time on and forever, says the Lord." You see, God knows that there's evil all around. And God knows that there's liars all around. And so God sent the truth to you. God sent the truth and the way and the life in Jesus Christ. God sent his own son so that you would know what was true, so that you would know what was righteous, so that you would know who to follow. You see, we don't follow a party. We don't follow a concept. We don't follow a nation. We follow Jesus. We follow God's word in Jesus Christ. We learn it. We study it. And we do our best to try to put it into practice. If you're like me, you fail. But God never leaves us or forsakes us. In fact, God, if we are humble, will continue to lift us up. If we are wise enough to know that forgiveness is what keeps us away from the death penalty, then we will be blessed. You see, the problem with the liars is they never stop lying. They never come to the place where they say, "Hey, we were wrong." If they did that, then every weather report would begin by saying, "Oh, by the way, 8 inches didn't fall yesterday. An inch fell." Right? And here's what I think tomorrow's going to be. If we did that, then instead of reporters blaming you when they're wrong, what they would do is say something went wrong with our polls, and only one national poll thought that the president would win. They don't. They continue even after they're shown to be wrong. The church has to be different. The church has to be a people who are willing to repent, change direction, and sometimes know that we've gone in the wrong place. We've answered the wrong call. We've heard the voice, but not the voice of God. A church that's willing to repent can always be rescued and saved. The people of Israel thought that they were already the people of God. And when Jesus came, they denied who he was because they didn't think they needed a savior. That was their fatal flaw. Those who didn't think that they had sinned, those that didn't think that they were liars, they wouldn't hear the truth because it disagreed with them. Here's what I want to tell you. At some point, we're all hypocrites. Billy Sunday said it this way. Hypocrites in the church, yes, and in the lodge and at the home. Don't hunt through the church for a hypocrite. Go home and look in the mirror. Hypocrites, yes. See that you make the number one less. The first step in truth-telling is knowing yourself. It's looking in the mirror. It's being honest about the state of your own spiritual health. And when you know the truth, it's repenting and going to the Lord. Truth-tellers become truth-tellers because they first patrol their own territory before they worry about someone else's. Truth-tellers look in the mirror and they always seek to be perfected by the Spirit of God. We repent often and we continue to ask God for the way and for the word. I have served the church for 27 years now, professionally. I've been a pastor longer than I was a student or a kid. I've never done anything longer than this. And the thing that I'll tell you is that there's not a day that I don't get up in the morning and look in the mirror and ask God to forgive me and to change me and for the word of God to come fresh in my life. I'm not saying that because I'm uniquely ugly or dangerous or difficult. I say that because that's the first rule for anyone who seeks to serve. If you want to stand up for the truth of God, you have to make sure that it's living and residing in your own life. You have to make sure that you're listening to it, that you're reading it, that you're obeying it. And only then can you truly have the power to preach it and defend it. The people of God have to know that we are the last line of defense. The world needs to hear about God and Jesus Christ. The world needs to see what God is doing in your life so that they can embrace it for their own. The reality is that the answer is always Jesus. The reason we need to make that important for us today is because there will be a time where Jesus returns. And we want the world to be ready. We want as many people as possible to know who this Jesus is, what the truth is. Because when Jesus returns, it won't be as easy as it was the first time. And we need to make sure that the people of God have been witnessing, have been sharing, have been living, have been doing the work of God so that the world might know that Jesus Christ is Lord. Give Jesus your heart, and you will be amazed at the truth that you will know. The world needs Christ more than it ever has. And more than that, it needs wise people who will only speak truth. As a preacher, the biggest difficulty is knowing when to shut up. I'm going to know that. Do God's will. Hear God's word. And speak what God has spoken. If you do that, then the world will grow in righteousness and in truth, because the church will speak what it knows and not our own interests. Let's pray. Lord God, you've called us to be truth tellers. It's a difficult job. We have so many opinions, and some of our opinions are wise and smart. Our opinions would make people turn around and say, wow, what a brilliant person. What a great idea. Lord God, help us to realize that all of it is vanity if it's not your word. Lord God, help us to know that your word is the truth, and that if we can speak your word in truth, that our world would be transformed. Lord God, you have called us as the people of God, as the church, to be prophets for this age. And you have spoken to us the word that's in Scripture. Fill us with your Spirit and send us into the world so that the world might be transformed in your image. Change us first, and then help us to bring the change to the world. And we pray it in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Before we sing our concluding hymn, I want to share with you that the only way that you'll really know the truth is to know Jesus, because Jesus is the truth. And if Jesus isn't in your life, if you are still seeking to serve God but don't know how, then I'm going to urge you to bring Jesus into your life, to repent, to change, to be transformed by the Word of God. Some of you might already be doing it. You're walking, but you need to walk closer. Some of you have been pushing off God's call. God has told you to speak, but you're saying, not my unclean lips and not in this unclean world. You need to say yes to God where God is leading you. If God is asking you to take the first step, then today accept Jesus as your Savior. If God is asking you to take a second step and to commit yourself to the church by being baptized and joining your church here at First Baptist, then step forward and say yes to Jesus. If God is asking you to serve in a deeper way, to do ministry to the world around you, then don't resist the truth. We need more truth tellers. And if God is calling you, then I urge you to say yes. As we sing our concluding hymn, Open My Eyes That I Might See, I ask that God would open our eyes and our hearts and our ears and our lives to God's service. Let's pray, let's sing, and let's serve. Standing as